are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Check out my bio there to see everywhere I am covering the game of baseball. And joining me is my co-host, Vinny Rutino. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Rutino. Also, make sure that you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And thank you for making Locked On Brewers your first listen each and every day. We post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and we are free and available on all platforms. On today's episode of Locked On Brewers, we're going to do our player review for Brandon Woodruff from his 2021 season and what a great season it was for him. So we'll be talking about mostly the good, and we'll try to find a couple of things that went wrong for him and talk about his future with the team as well. Could he potentially be a trade candidate for the Brewers? So we'll look into all of that on this episode. Well, let's start out talking about what went right. And there was honestly a lot that went right for Brandon Woodruff in 2021. Through the first 3 months of the season, you could argue he was the second best pitcher in all of baseball. Obviously, Jacob DeGrom, you know, takes the mantle. He was on a pace for a record-setting season, was DeGrom before he got hurt. But you could definitely say that DeGrom and Woodruff were right there, 1-2, as far as the two best pitchers in baseball through really the first half of the season. Brandon Woodruff at the end of June had a 1.87 ERA and a record of 7-3. So just a really good start. Speaking of his start to the season, he went 6 or 7 innings in 10 straight outings after his start on opening day, and he allowed 1 earned or less in all 10 of those starts. So just an unbelievable stretch of starts for Brandon Woodruff that were just absolutely brilliant. Overall in the season, he went 9-10 with a 2.56 ERA and 179 and a third innings pitch with 211 strikeouts and a whip of 0.96. So overall, just really great numbers across the board, a really great season. It was by far the most innings he's thrown in a season in his career. His next highest was 121 and a third innings in 2019. It was also his second All-Star appearance of his career. So certainly a great accomplishment there for him. He had the lowest ERA, the most starts, the most innings pitched, and the most strikeouts, and the lowest whip in a season in his career. So set career marks in all of those numbers. And when you look at the metrics, it was the highest WAR season that he's had, according to Fangraphs, at 4.7, the lowest FIP that he's had at 2.96. And, you know, just to give you kind of a comparison as far as FIP goes, 2.96 is excellent and the best of Brandon Woodruff's career, but Corbin Burns' FIP was 1.63, which just goes to tell you how incredibly, you know, analytically Corbin Burns' season was. And if you look at the Baseball Savant page for Brandon Woodruff, he's in the red, which means great percentile ratings for every category except for one when you look on his Baseball Savant page. So just, you know, off the charts analytically as well. He had a 41% whip rate on his changeup. You know, I talked about his changeup a lot throughout the year. I thought it became one of his better pitches. So a 41% whip rate on that pitch. And batters hit just 140 against his curveball. So, you know, got some pretty impressive numbers on those pitches. Just pretty impressive across the board for Brandon Woodruff, Vinny. So your thoughts on him, the good from Brandon Woodruff this year, and just how excellent he was, particularly in that first half for the Brewers.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's established himself as an ace in the major leagues, and I wouldn't have said that about him in years prior. I mean, I know he established himself last year in 2020 in the shortened season. He's starting to establish himself. But then I was always questioning whether or not the, you know, it was going to hold up all of his, you know, his numbers, all of his success. I was really questioning whether or not it would hold up. And he proved it this year that it would hold up in terms of being an elite starting pitcher in the major leagues. And the reason why I've always been a little bit skeptical of this guy is because of the slider, right? And the breaking stuff. He's a guy that doesn't have, or he didn't have, like an elite spin rate on his fastball. So there wasn't a whole lot of deception to it. He would get away with mistakes because he was throwing and consistently throwing 98, 99 miles an hour deep into games. But it was the slider that I was always questioning. He does not have a good slider. It's kind of a cement mixer at times. But it's effective, right? I mean, he proved that it was effective, but then he also developed the curveball, and the curveball has been a lot more, has had a lot more movement on it. It's been a lot sharper. He's been able to command that pitch. But then the changeup as well has always kind of shown as a quality pitch. I always thought he had to up the usage of that changeup. Long story short, the guy's really learned how to develop himself as a starting pitcher. And I've said this numerous times on this podcast, he's learned how to develop himself and develop his arsenal at 99 miles an hour, right? 97 or whatever it is, 99. He pitches at 95 to 99 miles an hour, which is incredible deep into games. That's just a testament to how good his arm is, how strong this guy is, how great of an athlete this guy is, that he can hold up, he can repeat his delivery and pitch with that kind of velocity and use all four of his pitches. And like I said, it's not the exploding, nasty breaking stuff that he does it with. It is the ability to command his pitches and his ability to execute when it matters. He did that all year long. Well, I think we're going to get into him, you know, kind of regressing towards the end. And that's, I think, what the difference was at the end of the day. But yes, mainly, you know, over the body of the season, his body work that he put up, it was, he did show his ability to really execute and pitch really well and execute pitches over the course of the season. I think that's what he's established himself to be. So it was an incredibly impressive year by Brandon Woodruff.
Yeah. And to your point, you talk about the slider and, you know, how it maybe not being the best, and he has really dialed that pitch back a lot. Kind of recognizing that. I mean, you go back to 2019, he threw that slider 20% of the time. 2020, he only threw it 11% of the time. And then in 2021, he only threw it 9% of the time. So, you know, he started to pull back that slider a little bit, started to feature that curveball a lot more this year. You talked about he threw that 16.7% of the time after only throwing that 6% of the time last year. So, you know, he's been able to adjust and adapt, find things that work for him. So, you know, kudos to him for that, being able to make that adjustment. It seemed to really pay off for him in 2021. But let's take a break here, and we'll try to come back and find some things that went wrong for Brandon Woodruff in 2021. I love Thanksgiving, all the good food and treats and plenty of them, but maybe you want a yummy dessert that isn't full of calories and sugar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is now the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. Replace the coconut cream pie with coconut Built Bar, or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to replace any pie. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high in protein, covered in 100% real chocolate. Built is a great option for when you're hungry. If Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, go for a Built Bar or two. There's new surprises all month long. Limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly, so check the site often. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. So like I said, we're going to try to look at a couple of things that went wrong for Brandon Woodruff in 2021. Really not a ton to go after here. As we kind of alluded to, though, in the first segment, there was some regression for Corbin Burnes in the second half of the season. And, you know, regression by his standards was still a pretty good pitcher. But, you know, he had a couple of rough months. He had a 3.56 ERA in July. Again, I'm being very nitpicky here. A 3.56 ERA is certainly not terrible, but a 3.56 ERA in July and a 4.09 ERA in September. Those were obviously his two worst months of the year. And I think most pitchers would probably take that as two of their worst months of the season. But he did go, or he lost 8 of 9 starts in those 2 months. You know, obviously didn't get a lot of run support in those months, but that's just a lot of losses for your team. I mean, they're losing a lot of those games 3-1, you know, 4-2, 4-1, 2-1. So not getting a ton of run support. It's not like he was getting blown out in those games, but you know, when you start the season with a 7-3 record and you only get 2 wins in the second half of the season, that's a bit disappointing. Not much he can really do about that or really even control that. But again, we're being a little nitpicky here because it was such a great year for Brandon Woodruff, and he was, and I even wrote this down in my notes, you know, in quotation marks, mediocre in the second half of the season. He was still very good, just not as great as he was in the first half, which, like I said, he was one of the top 2 or 3 pitchers in all of baseball in the first half of the season. And then looking at his playoff start, it wasn't a terrible playoff start. 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 walk, 3 earned, 7 strikeouts, but he did lose it, of course. The Brewers didn't score a run in that game, so it really didn't matter. But, you know, certainly not a great start for him in the postseason. He did come on in relief in another game in that NLDS, pitched an inning and a third scoreless, only gave up a hit and struck out a batter. So, you know, overall in the postseason, he pitched 7 1/3, gave up 6 hits, 1 walk, 3 earned, and 8 strikeouts. So, I mean, still, again, really solid performance from him in the playoffs. And, you know, he certainly is not to blame for them losing in the NLDS. And then my final thing here, I don't know if it's really fair to say that something, or that this was something that went wrong, but I just feel like he got overlooked because of Corbin Burnes. I know he got the all-star nod, but you know, nothing. I've said it all year long in the podcast. I love Brandon Woodruff. I want to see him get more, you know, media attention, national attention, because I think he is that good, that fun of a pitcher to watch. But, you know, I think he gets overshadowed a little bit by Corbin Burnes just because, you know, of the analytical darling that he is and the Cy Young candidate he is. And that's certainly great for Corbin Burnes, but I think it does overshadow just how great of a season Brandon Woodruff had and how great of a pitcher he is. So Vinny, again, I'm kind of grasping at straws here, trying to find some things that maybe didn't go right for Brandon Woodruff this year, but I mean, it's really, really tough to do that because it was a really good season for Brandon Woodruff. But any thoughts on what went wrong in the second half, or maybe why he wasn't quite as dominant in the second half?
Couldn't really pinpoint, as watching him pitch, I couldn't really pinpoint what he did differently in the second half as opposed to the first half. I mean, I'm looking at his game logs and stuff. I mean, it's just a matter of, like, it always seemed like it was like one hit, right, that just kind of like gave up a 3-run homer or a big hit or a jam job that got over the infield. We saw that a lot with both Corbin Burnes and Brandon Woodruff, you know, weakly hit balls, some unlucky things kind of dropping in. But what was impressive, and I'm going to turn it optimistic into your question about what went wrong, what was impressive is he continued to show the ability to get out of some of those situations and kind of limit the damage to, you know, 2-3 runs. And that was what was impressive about the performance in the second half, despite it not being as good and as dominant. But I didn't see, maybe the velo could have been just a tick lower in the second half. That could have been, I know in the playoffs, he was kind of just sitting around 94, 96. That was a tick lower on the fastball. And it could be, like you said, the number of innings that he threw, most innings he's thrown in his career. But other than that, it's tough to pinpoint what he did wrong or what was different about Brandon Woodruff. Nothing glaring. I just think it's sequencing, and I think it's, you know, how these guys attack him that is going to affect how he does on a night in, night out basis, because he is dominant. But if guys take quality at bats, and if he doesn't sequence properly, because like we said, it's not the exploding slider, it's not the exploding curveball, or just the devastating changeup. It is how to sequence these guys and really make pitches. It's funny. He's like a command soft throwing type of an arm, but he's doing it at 96, 99. Right. So that is what, Kyle Hendricks with the Cubs, if he's not commanding or sequencing well, he's going to get hit, right? So, I mean, that's a similar idea to what Brandon Woodruff. That's what I see from Brandon Woodruff. If he sequences his pitches properly, if he's in a good rhythm in the game, if he's commanding his stuff, he's going to do well. Maybe at times in the second half, you just saw a little bit of some hiccups in those arenas for him. He just does not have the secondary stuff to just kind of go out there and just blow guys away, and doesn't matter what kind of how he's setting them up and stuff like that. So I do think that that was going forward for the rest of his career, he's going to have to pitch and just sequence well, and he'll continue to improve and play that cat mouse game with major league hitters. And so that's what I saw. That was the difference, because it wasn't anything glaring. And like you said, you have to try and nitpick to find something wrong with this guy. So, I thought at the end of the day, it was a great, great season, and tough to find something that he did wrong.
Yeah. And it always seemed like too, with Woodruff, that, you know, it sometimes took him a while to find that command, to find that sequence you're talking about, and teams would score on him early, and then you'd see him settle down and then just really shut things down the rest of the way. So I think that was part of it too. You know, also, again, like I talked about the innings, you know, this was the most innings he ever threw. So could have been some tiredness there towards the end of the season. But I mean, you're looking at his second half numbers. He went 2-6 with a 3.41 ERA and 12 starts and a whip of 1.21. You know, certainly not terrible, more so a middle of the rotation type pitcher as opposed to the top of the rotation pitcher that he was in the first half, when he was 7-4 with a 2.06 and 18 starts and a whip of 0.82. So, I mean, just overly dominant in the first half. Maybe there was some tiredness in the second half. Maybe hitters starting to figure him out a little bit more. Again, you can't really exactly pinpoint what that was, but definitely something to keep an eye on, you know, going forward with Brandon Woodruff. Take another break here, and then we'll talk about the future of Brandon Woodruff. Could he potentially be a trade candidate this offseason or an extension candidate? BetOnline is back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron right now, and as well as the basketball court, as you have football and basketball season in full swing. Right now, BetOnline has a new updated site and interface with even more odds, props, and contests than ever before. BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football and basketball. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. All right, so I like to always end these player reviews talking about the future with the team. And Brandon Woodruff has 3 more years of team control through arbitration, but MLB trade rumors has him projected to make $7.1 million in 2022, which, you know, it's a pretty significant boost salary-wise for him. He turns 29 in February, so he'll play all of next year at February. So still, you know, in that window of his prime there, obviously entering his late 20s, early 30s. So I think there's two options you can go here, and it doesn't necessarily have to happen this season. I think you could probably more so likely next offseason, but, you know, I think – again, more so next offseason, I think he could be a potential extension candidate. Then maybe the Brewers try to lock him up through his age 32, 33 season, whatever it may be. Or I think he could be a potential trade candidate. And, you know, the Brewers have a good stable of young pitching arms, inexpensive pitching arms. And if the Brewers were looking for a way to get aggressive and get a big bat to help out the offense, and at the same time, possibly save a little money, because, you know, $7 million isn't going to necessarily kill the team, but I mean, it could be a way for them to shed a little payroll and get a big bat that's maybe a little bit cheaper or even the same price, because they have that depth in the starting rotation. So I think he could potentially be a trade candidate. I don't really see it happening, but again, if the front office wanted to get aggressive and look for a way to find a big bat, you know, they can definitely trade from the depth that they have starting pitching wise. But, you know, as me and Vinny talked about the other day, is what builds a World Series contender. I think it starts with the starting pitching and having dominant starting pitching. So I certainly wouldn't want to give that up in Brandon Woodruff. But Vinny, I'd like to hear your thoughts on kind of Woodruff's future with the team. Do you see him kind of just riding out these arbitration years, hitting free agency? Would you extend him? Would you potentially look to trade him for a bat?
All of the above, right? I mean, I think you kick the tires on all of the above with Brandon Woodruff. I think as much as I would hate to lose Brandon Woodruff, and I would, I think he's a reliable starting pitcher. Like I said, he's in the elite class at this point, and he does it by pitching and not just throwing like you see with a lot of guys. I think he's going to have continued success. He's going to continue to improve. He's not a darling when it comes to the analytics though. So I think teams are going to be hesitant in the price tag that they put on this guy. However, of course, kick the tires there because look, I think if you can land a Kyle Tucker, which the Astros would never do this deal likely, but like that would be something that I would be definitely interested in. Right. If you can land a Rafael Devers and play third base and then extend Devers, right? I think you would do that. I think you would definitely kick the tires on a trade with Brandon Woodruff. You don't sell low on him. That's just my opinion. It'd be hard to replace the innings that he gives you and he gave you this year. We're seeing this guy shorten his arm action. We're seeing this guy just be such a great athlete that I think what we saw from him is going to continue to go forward. You're going to continue to produce that way for the next 5 years, probably, right? Until he hits that decline on that age curve, which is about probably age 33, 34. So I think he's going to be a very valuable pitcher going forward. Extension, I wouldn't go much deeper than age 33, 34. With what the Brewers have on the books now, I don't see that happening, but I would definitely kick the tires on the trade talk. Wouldn't sell low and maybe just ride it out until he's a free agent because I think this guy's very valuable going forward.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am. I don't really see it as an extension possibility unless, again, he was willing to extend through his age, 32, 33 season. Which I think for him, it may be a better move to kind of bet on himself and just go to free agency. I think you may get more that way, so I don't really see an extension really in the works, especially with the money that the Brewers already have on the books with Christian Yelich. I don't see them handing out another kind of big extension deal like that. I think it's more likely that he gets traded at some point. Maybe not this offseason, but maybe next offseason when he has 2 years of arbitration control left and he's going to be, even more expensive next year, probably in the $11, $12 million range, that maybe he's a possible trade candidate next offseason. But I also think there's just something to letting it ride out for these next 3 years that you have control over him, which I still think is in that window for the Brewers to win a World Series. And I think you definitely do that with Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burnes and Freddy Peralta atop the starting rotation. So I think there's something, I think Woodruff can go any number of ways here. His future definitely, could go a number of different routes, but be interesting to see what the Brewers do with him. Interesting to see how he follows up this 2021 season. Cause like I said, it was a big jump in innings for him. And like we said, potentially got tired there at the end. So I'm curious to see how the 2022 season goes now that he has that long season under his belt. Does he come back more prepared for that workload and is even better? Or do we see him, continue kind of the regression that we saw in the second half of the season? So I think 2022 will be a very big year for Brandon Woodruff. Final thing I wanted to mention before I got out of here, Craig Counsell was named a finalist for a Manager of the Year award. Certainly a great nod to him as Counsell's, seen as one of the best managers in all of baseball, but I'm pretty sure that's likely going to go to Gabe Kapler and the Giants because, they weren't even supposed to be anywhere near contention. So most likely he will win the award, but a great nod for Craig Counsell to be in the finalist once again. Well, that will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. You can follow me at Shortstop Ball and Vinny at Vinny Rotino. Also, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we will talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.